games that they have that A, ship on time, B, review well, and C, sell well,
yeah,
are all the shit from Eidos that they bought. Who would have thought that Eidos would be the buoy in the Square Enix fucking ship?
Oh, Square Enix.
How the fuck do you go from Slippy sounding like a badass old man frog to "Hi, Fox!
Oh, Fox, it's Meatwad!
Fuck, man.
It's Meatwad!" Hey,
fucking
Hoss.
Toad is like that too.
God, item. Toad was always that way, and Toad.
God, item.
It's the weirdest thing because like Toad, like that's his voice from like the cartoon, the American cartoon, which is the only thing I think the Japanese like adopted from the American cartoon is his how.
that's canon.
That's what they want him to sound like. He's like, yeah, sure, you know, Toad. Weird mushroom things. Anyway, it's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. Hoss, how you doing today?
I'm all right.
Good, good. We're talking about Star Fox today on this episode. Got a little bit of news, a little bit of what you've been playing. You've been playing the Nomansky, the Minecraft on steroids, the Giant Journey game, Center of the Universe, jumping around. One quintillion planets video
18
game.
Quintillion.
18 quintillion. Do you need to... Do they really need 18? I think one quintillion probably would have done it for them, right? Do they need 18 of them? I don't know. But yeah, No Man's Sky, you played that. And then we're going to be talking about Star Fox, the legacy of the Star Fox.
Next week we're going to talk about the Blizzard games on the SNES, the thing we didn't get to last time.
Yes.
But I just thought that given the space and technology nature of No Man's Sky, I just thought it was kind of a good opportunity as any for us to talk Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk the good one.
Yeah. You're going to talk the good one. The original.
The one good one.
The original.
The one time it was good.
64 is fantastic.
The Super FX chip.
But I will say that, yes, the Super FX chip, original Super Nintendo Star Fox game is phenomenal.
The one good time.
It's not the one good time. They've had one other good game, so...
Nope.
Yep, they've had one other one.
Star Fox, what, Command,
64.
Whatever was today. What was the one that came out this year?
Zero, yeah.
That's the other good one.
No, man. That's not the other good one. 64 is the other good one.
Game was fucking garbage.
I don't know why you hate that game so much.
The game was fucking terrible.
Moving on. Basically, what we're going to cover today is a little bit of news. The Dota Championship started?
Dota Invitational.
Dota Invitational, that's
ends
right.
Ends tonight, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. Ends tonight as we are recording this on
Sunday,
I believe.
I think the finals are on ESPN again this year.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, millions of dollars of prizes for that thing.
Apparently, like, last year was a huge upset. The American team won.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They were like... and people were legit betting on this. They were like 32-1 underdogs.
Jesus.
But apparently, like, it's not over yet. But apparently China showed up good. Like, really good.
Right, yeah.
Curious to see how that kind of plays out. Especially, like, it's going out at the same time as the Olympics. I'm like, maybe you should have waited a week. What do I know?
I mean, people are really hosing the Olympics this year anyway, so...
I think the ratings are good, though.
The ratings, I think, are good, but they're, like, a lot of stuff getting hosed. Like, you know, all the non-camaraderie going on, all the bad...
Here's a question. You've been watching any of this?
I haven't really.
Why don't they time swimming better?
I don't know. Like, what do you
Why
mean?
Why are there so many ties?
I don't know. Are there that many ties? I haven't really noticed, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, like, yesterday was a three-way tie for... And everybody got silvers.
Hmm.
Fuck off!
Yeah, that's kind of bullshit. Figured you'd have, like, little sensors.
That's the only one that Michael Phelps didn't get a gold in this year.
I feel like you could just, like, have, like, little sensors where you, like, tap it and, like, that's...
Yeah, I figure, like, you would make that entire wall just be, like, one huge touch panel.
Right, yeah. I mean, they do it with fencing where, like, you're totally wired up and, you know...
Oh, those new fencing outfits this year were ridiculous.
They were totally wired up and you had to, you know... Shushisha! You know,
everybody's got those dumb blinky lights on.
Yeah, the blinky lights and everything. Yeah.
Dude, you know what I really like?
Yeah.
The fucking laser guns.
Yeah.
That they use instead of those rifles now.
Oh, right.
Those things are badass.
Hmm. Do they not use real rifles anymore for shooting competitions?
No. Just for safety purposes, they changed it over to these light guns.
That's garbage. I don't care what anybody says. That's terrible. Like, the point of it is that it's you're shooting a gun, right? Like,
it apparently is just like a gun.
Guess, but it's shooting light. Like, I don't,
yeah.
For safety purposes?
It's the fucking future.
For safety purposes?
I don't know!
Like, you did shoot in a field! is that not safe?
And they're Olympic athletes. You think anybody would be safe around a gun?
Right, it'd be Olympic shooters, the guys that have trained their entire lives to use these guns.
Oh, apparently Ryan Lochte and, like, a bunch of other Olympians got robbed at gunpoint last night.
That happened. that's about the third robbery that was reported.
If there's one guy that I feel like would just lose his shit in a robbery, it's Ryan Lochte, because that guy's a fucking moron.
Oh, boy.
See his shitty bleached hair this year?
I didn't see his shitty bleached
Jesus.
Hair. Jesus. But there you go. So yeah, what else is new in the news? FF7 got delayed.
Final Fantasy 15.
15. Why did I say 7? I don't know why.
Because they're also remaking
it. They're remaking it. That's
they
right.
They don't even have a release date for that.
Yeah, 15. They pushed that back.
Here's something that, they delayed Final Fantasy 15. Square Enix hasn't officially said this yet,
right?
But like pretty much everybody's saying it got pushed to November.
Okay.
Which means that it got pushed to January.
Meaning it got pushed further than what you think it got pushed to.
If I know one thing about Square Enix, it's their ability to delay a game. Mm-hmm. Like, the only games that they have that A, ship on time, B, review well, and C, sell well, are all the shit from Eidos that they bought. Who would have thought that Eidos would be the buoy in the Square Enix fucking ship?
Oh, Squeenix, you sad, like, sad sack.
Deus Ex is coming out on time. Mm-hmm. That'll sell well. Tomb Raider did really well. Did you see they're adding a bunch of VR stuff to Tomb Raider for PlayStation VR?
I did see that. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. I feel like if you're going to sell VR, you're going to have to attach it to some, you know, meaningful titles that people want to use VR4, but I don't know. We'll see how that works out.
You know, like, I think I've mentioned this before, but I keep coming back to it. It's like the bite-sized nature of a lot of the games that are coming out on the PlayStation VR and the fact that they're charging like $40 for that Arkham VR that's less than 60 minutes long.
Right, yeah.
I don't give a fuck how good it feels to be Batman. That's a lot of money for less than an hour.
That is a lot of money for less than an hour. It really is.
I got Nemansky over here, right. And that's like a... It could be forever.
Right? Yeah. How much was Journey when it came out?
$15.
$15, and that's about an hour and a half of a
better game of
a Journey. Probably.
I don't care how good Arkham VR is.
Yeah.
You say just about any video game name, Journey, way better game.
Way better game than that. There you go.
Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Journey.
Yeah.
Way better game.
Way better game. Wow.
I just really like Journey.
Well, you hate Super Mario World anyway.
So. I don't hate Super Mario World. I just hate fucking Yoshi.
You do hate Yoshi a lot.
And it's got the fucking lamest Bowser fight.
It does have a pretty lame Bowser fight.
Right? That fucking Bowser fight.
Yeah, where you just flick up the dudes and that's it. Yeah, it's like...
I remember doing that and I was like, wait, there's not like a final form?
Right.
That's it? Fuck out of here with that shit.
He was the easiest Bowser ever.
Fuck yes.
It's also the easiest Bowser to get to, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like pretty simple run.
That's where I really feel like the Mario franchise just carved off the peak of the difficulty ramp.
Right. Yeah.
Like that game was at no time was that game ever incredibly demanding in the way that 3 was,
or
2 was, or 1 was.
No, not at all. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
You know, the despite the fact that, like, even in one where the palettes don't change very much from level to level, just the way that you play World 8 as compared to the ways that you play any other world in that game are so dynamically different.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And, you know, there are whole worlds in that game that are about going slower, and then 8 is about going faster.
Yeah.
And about precision at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I really respected the desire on Nintendo's behalf there to say, no, you need to earn this.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And there was a good long time where they got away from that. It seems like they're getting back into that.
It is. They supplemented it with reward-based play in that game.
That's where the stars came from.
The stars came from. The star, like, that the harder levels, like, were like an achievement point. You didn't need that to beat the game, but it just, like, that was the achievement to get that. And then you get all these extra weird stuff to where the turtles have Mario heads. And, it's a little weird that they...
You ever played the fixed version of Mario World?
No. What is that?
Little piece of trivia here. If you go out and you find one of the Mario All-Stars carts that also has Mario World in it, where it's a dual boot...
Sure.
That's a different Mario World.
Is it?
They changed things in it. Because Nintendo was the kind of company that... Second runs of games, it's like, oh, we didn't like this thing, so we went back and we fixed it. They'll actually be different. There's a lot of sprites that are different and colors that are different and level geometry that's slightly different.
Yeah.
Because that Mario All-Stars double cart came out like 3 years later. And they were like, well, we're just going to make a couple of changes here before we release that. So,
right, yeah.
Little known fact that that's not only a rarer cart... It's also the only way you can get that version of Mario World.
Wow. That's interesting. So, huh. That's pretty cool.
Not substantial enough for you to run out and do it, but it's part of the mystique of that cartridge and why it's worth more money is that it's just, weird and different.
I think my cousins had that cartridge, so.
Yeah, the later on, instead of packing in two carts, they figured out, like, oh, we can just make a single cart and have a dual boot and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, there you go. Huh, there we go. But yeah, the more you know. You've been playing a little game called the Nomansky.
Yeah, I've been playing some other stuff. I guess we'll talk about that other stuff next week. I kind of want to just focus on No Man's Sky for this one.
Agreed.
No Man's Sky is a video game.
Yes.
And believe it or not, I had avoided almost everything about this game before it came out. Yeah. I did that purposefully.
Yeah.
Not because I was worried about story spoilers or anything, but I didn't want to have... happened to me what appears to have happened to most people. Most people seem to have, like, weirdly, like, aggressive thoughts about this game one way or another.
Yeah. Foaming at the mouth, I would say.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of people that, like, have extreme opinions about the quality of this video game. In a way that I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Here's what No Man's Sky is. It's a 6 GB game that comes to you on a Blu-ray that you put in a PlayStation, or it's 2.6 gigabytes when you buy it off Steam.
Yeah.
It's a way smaller game on Steam.
Sure.
That had a big day one patch that added a little bit more structure to it. Whenever you boot up the game for the first time, it kind of asks, like, hey, do you want like a narrative?
Do you want, like,
or do you not?
Right.
Or do you just want, like, free ballin' space game?
Okay, yeah.
And I went for the more structured approach because this, it tells me, like, all right, you've done everything you need to do in this system. You can jump to the next one if you've got warp juice for your FTL engine.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You start the game. We did a video of this. It should be up on the site here soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a two-parter.
Yep.
You start the game. You're on a planet. You don't know how you got there. You're standing next to a ship. The ship's broke down. And that's how it explains, all right, you need A, B, and C mineral components to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
You need D, E, and F to fix this. Here's how much of it you need. You have a gun that's a mining laser. Go.
Yeah.
And it starts you, basically, you're on the outer rim of the galaxy, and, you know, I spent probably the first 4 hours of that game just banging around on that one planet.
Right.
Because I think you need to just accept the fact that, like, your first few hours with that game,
you're going to understand nothing.
Yeah.
You don't know how any of this works. You're going to be a little bit uncomfortable in ways with how it deals with inventory, and it's kind of constricting at first in the ways that, like, old Resident Evil games were.
Sure.
You know, in the way that Minecraft can be, I presume.
Yeah, right.
Terraria was a similar way.
Yeah.
You know, this game is... I started on a planet that wasn't too bad. I've seen some other people that have spawned on, like, planets that are poisonous and shit like that. I was like, man, that's a fucking shitty way to start. I had one friend that spawned on a planet where all the sentinels, these little flying around robot things, were really pissed at him.
Right.
Like, from the start, he's like, fuck, I don't... What? Because he, like, texts me and he goes, like, man, this game's really hard. I'm like, I haven't died yet, dude. He's like, I've died like 30 times!
These sentinels keep murdering me! I don't know, they're really mad!
But yeah, it's a video game that's you discovering planets, and you discovering minerals, and you discovering animals.
Yeah.
And you can name them.
Yeah, you can name them whatever you want. You name yours very interestingly, that's for sure.
It's usually food. Yeah,
yeah.
Except there was, like, that planet Brandon.
Yeah, there was a planet there. You did name one after me. That was nice of you. But it was on the planet Butt.
It was the moon of the planet Butt. I really think that people need to just temper their expectations of what this video game is and not worry about what it could have been and just focus on what it is.
Yeah.
And all of the expectations that people have, for the most part, are things they made up in their own head.
It's true. That's what I mean. It's like this game isn't anything different than what was advertised, to my knowledge.
There's some stuff from, I think his name's Sean Murray,
the
president of Hello Games.
Yeah.
There's some stuff, like, when he was on Colbert, I guess, like, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He's made, like, some direct references to, like, you won't see very many people out there, but he's not said that it wasn't a multiplayer game.
Right.
This is not a multiplayer game.
Right, no, it's not a multiplayer game.
And he didn't... I think they wanted to make it a multiplayer game, and when it came down to it, it was just, we can't get this to work.
Right.
So rather than, you know, delay this game more...
Right, that's probably what the delay is.
Ship it.
Trying to figure that stuff out and then realize we couldn't.
And, you know, like, okay, so it's not multiplayer. Right. But there's enough human touch and human influence on this game that playing this game now is really cool, but I think what would be really awesome is playing this game in, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
When almost every planet's been found.
Yeah, right.
So just cruising around going, like, who the fuck named all this?
Who named this place Hamburger Playhouse?
That was me.
That was us!
I really think that game has something going for it.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. It's so different. The interface, like, I was shocked at how much the UI for that is very, very similar to Destiny. The way that, like, you know, everything is in a little tile, and everything has a circular meter that, like, you hold down to spin it up to confirm. And,
sure.
You know, you hang out with aliens, and you learn languages, and, you know, you're finding all sorts of goofy shit, and I like it. There's a lot to like about that game.
Yeah.
And... I think that game looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks really cool. It's not like one of those, like, graphically blow your mind out type of look, but it just has, like, a style to it that looks really nice. The interface, I think, is really easy to get, really easy to understand. I like the little pulse you send out for finding minerals and stuff like that. You have different mineral symbols, so you know, like, that's energy, that's research, that's mineral, that, you know.
It's got a stickiness to it.
Yeah.
That I really like. Like, I don't hesitate to say, like, well, I got 15 minutes before I need to leave work.
Yeah.
I'll just sit down and goof around. It's like, you know, even if I'm just, like, okay. You know, I just put, I never turn my system all the way off. I just put it in rest mode. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I grab the controller, I'm back in it. And I'm, like, kind of hanging out on a planet.
Yeah.
And I really, really like the way that game
kind of paces out its structure to you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's something where it's not like a World of Warcraft where it's like, if I don't have 2 hours, I'm not playing it. You know, yeah. Fallout kind of gets like that. Witcher gets like that with me. A lot of, most big games, it's, their structure is designed around big time expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that much time, don't bother.
Yeah, yeah. Don't, yeah.
It's kind of why, like, most huge games here recently I haven't finished, because I just don't have that kind of time and those kind of chunks like I used to.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm really enjoying this game. I like the idea that a good portion of the time you are finding, like, these glyph stones that teach you alien languages.
Yeah, that part's really cool to me, too. Just
whenever you meet an alien, the right side of the screen will have a description of the emotion coming out of an individual, like the nonverbal communication aspects of this. And then the left side of the screen is what that alien said in their tongue. Mm. And as you've picked up words, like, you know, for one alien race, I knew so many damn words that it was almost all in English.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice. And it lets you easily be able to respond to things like, one of the alien races that I'm interacting with now, I don't know shit for their language.
Yeah.
And so a couple of conversations I've had have gone poorly because I'm trying to respond to that without necessarily knowing that. And also, it's a race of robot people, so they're not giving me a lot of physical indications of what they're into.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like green blinking lights from their head, and it's like,
Daft Punk.
Yeah, it looks like they look like Daft Punk members. And
Tute,
Daft Punk, Tute. Anyway, they all have like a designated job, and that's what their, you know, that's what their entity is tied to. Like, oh, you have scientist entity, whatever, and chemist entity, Tute.
Tute.
Go check that out on our video.
Yeah, we had a good time with that.
We had a good time with that one. But, yeah, it's just like when you don't have any sort of like physical interaction or like visible facial expressions because they just are wearing a Daft Punk helmet, you have no idea what the hell they're.
And you don't know their language, so you're really behind the eight ball there.
Yeah.
This game is very similar to my time with Minecraft. But instead of you taking a randomly generated game world and building your house in it, everything is your house.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And this game, it just lays itself out before you, and it's a very economic-driven game.
Yeah. Very
much, you know,
so,
there's you'll find out that, like, you know, this in this system, this kind of mineral they're paying a ton of money for because it's just not that common here. And you'll get lucky, you'll find a planet, and boom, you can really make some money.
Yeah, yeah. You had a trade deficit for plutonium that was out the west.
It was like 99.9% higher than the galactic average is what these guys were paying. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was insane. So you basically sold all your plutonium to them.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little bit of that, but I sold everything I could.
Yeah, and then bought a new ship with it. So it's pretty
and
cool.
I think the way that that game is designed is it's perfect for just relaxing. There's nothing stressful about that game.
Unless you spawn on a planet where the Sentinels are pissed at you. Or a poisonous atmosphere.
Whenever you go to actually land on a planet for the first time, it will say, hey, this is what type of planet it is. Here is, you know, the Sentinel relationship here is X, and this is Y. And it gives you a decent idea before you even land of, like, do I want to fucks with this or not?
Right, yeah.
You know, like, if the place is toxic and the Sentinels are dicks, maybe don't land there.
Right, yeah.
One thing that they added in the day one patch that I think is pretty cool, I haven't encountered any yet, is that some of the moons are apparently dead rocks.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like there's just nothing.
Nothing there. It's just dead nothing. Not even mineral, not just a
nothing.
Just a floating asteroid.
Like our moon.
Right, like ours, yeah, just nothing there.
Have you heard recently that NASA is pretty sure that our moon has a molten core?
No, I haven't heard that.
They're pretty sure.
Interesting. That's intriguing.
And I did a lot of, believe it or not, I did a lot of research on tides.
Yeah, on like the tides.
How the tides work.
How they work and how the moon
and how low tide works.
Yeah, yeah.
Low tide is driven by when the sun and the moon are exactly opposite from one another.
Right. That's when the gravity...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the gravitational pull of the moon is at its apex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really fucking cool, man.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, you know.
Science!
Yeah, you know. It's when the magic koi fish are in the...
Tiger's in, tiger's out.
You know, yeah. Twi and La, the magic koi fish. That's how that works.
I was on a planet earlier that had a giant snake monster.
Yeah.
That was kind of terrifying.
Yeah, I didn't. Most of the monsters that I encountered when we were watching were kind of cute.
Yeah,
they were like kind of cutesy.
Most
like,
of them are.
Yeah, like antlered things, and they make little like mom 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 noises, and it's like that's adorable. I didn't see the snake monster. That sounds terrifying.
I landed on a planet that was basically the shallow water planet from the movie Interstellar.
Huh.
Fuck, man. As soon as I got there, I was like, dude, we gotta go.
We gotta get out of here. This is no good. I have
seen this movie.
There's gonna be some things in here.
Yeah, this is gonna be fucked here in a little bit. But yeah, there's just enough variety to the planets. Mm-hmm. I posited a guess that I could be completely off base here.
Yeah.
I don't think the planets are planet-sized.
Right, yeah.
I think what they have is one big-ass tile that's real big.
Right.
And it just it loops.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's really coincidental that as soon as you fly straight into a planet, all five taggable, you know, like, stations are right within arm's reach of you.
Right.
And it never doesn't happen that
way. Do you
way.
Think it's because they generate it as the planet generates its, you know, like... Because as you said, your machine is the thing that's generating the whole thing before you upload to the server, obviously. So it's basically your machine generating the thing. So is that part of the generative property of it that it will...
What would somebody else say?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that... Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't know.
Like... If you land on another part of the planet, is that shit still going to be there?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm confused.
It would make sense that would be a way that they tone down the resources that it pulls out, that it's like obviously not fully planet sized. You could probably walk that full planet, but it's just got the same, you know, materials over and over and over and over, except for those
points. Yeah, it's just, it's a tile set that just keeps repeating.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes sense as to how they're able to keep it within a affordable, you know, space, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see when they start ripping apart the PC version.
Somebody's going to tear this apart, and, oh man, people are going to, like, be betrayed.
Oh, I can't believe this is... This isn't what they promised. I can't believe
this game's as small as a Quake map. Fuck this. 18 quintillion my dick. I can easily see a world where people just I'm so hurt.
I can't believe that you...
How dare you?
That you programmed this in a way that is unsatisfactory to my, original belief.
How dare you make a video game? I think if you want to sum up Twitter in a sentence, it's how dare you make X?
How dare you make a thing? That's pretty much it.
How dare you express your creativity?
Not in the manner that I wanted.
Who do you think you are to solve a problem in game development? Like,
and to give me a unique experience from it.
I heard a woman works there.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's...
I really, really, really like that game.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I was reluctant to pick it up. I mean, like, as soon as I saw, like, the firestorm of shit talking.
Yeah.
And then just everything that I heard in the chorus was, like, either, like, A... They never said it was going to be that.
Right.
Or B, why do you care? Like, all the things that people are making, like, such a huge deal about, like, countless people say that Mass Effect 1 is the best Mass Effect.
Right.
Most people I know
yeah.
say that that's their favorite Mass Effect.
Sure.
And then they're like, all the fucking planet exploration is just out of Mass Effect 1. I'm like, that was pretty cool. Give me Mass Effect 1 without a shitty truck. I'm interested.
Give me Mass Effect without a shitty truck.
Man, that truck in that first game. Woof.
Woof, that truck.
But yeah, I like No Man's Sky. I think that game is very special.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think it's almost like a treatise on this space between independent and big budget triple age.
Right.
Triple age.
Big budget triple age.
It's this weird mid ground where it had the backing of Sony, but it was made by 13 people.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still, even though it's all randomly generated and it's all their algorithm and all this other stuff,
yeah,
there's something about it that feels bigger than just about anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah, it feels very large title.
Like, I feel like I'm in space.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
And
it does have good game feel. A lot of good game feel to it.
Yeah. I really, really think that if you're okay with the idea that, hey, maybe this game's a little boring
right.
at times. Maybe this game's a little slow at times. That game's probably for you.
Yeah.
If you liked the episodes of The Next Generation where they didn't blow the ship up.
Right, yeah.
You know, the ones where it's like, I don't know, we just met this alien race and hung out with them for a while, and we didn't, it wasn't like some kind of incoming force that was going to kill them.
We posited some, like, really cool philosophical questions with these guys. And that's the episode, you know, like, that's, yeah, that is what this is akin to. It's like one of the quote-unquote boring episodes of TNG.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, yeah. And, if you like those episodes, you'll probably enjoy this. So, you know, that's it. That's, No Man's Sky.
I like to just think that I'm Commander Worf.
That's right. Everybody wants to be Commander Worf.
I've always fancied myself a Riker kind of guy.
Riker is always the guy that I always wanted to be.
Jonathan Frakes with that sick beard.
Jonathan Frakes is a madman, and I wanna meet him one day.
He's just crawling at you with a knife in his teeth.
Why have we made this perception of Jonathan Frakes in our heads? This is like years old, and at no point has he ever given that perception to anyone else.
I like crazy Jonathan Frakes.
But to us, he's a crazy person.
Fuck yes. Like, great. Unhinged, a little sweaty.
You're not too sure. He can pass as a normal person, but you just know that, like, deep down when you go into his basement, there's just bad shit in there.
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall when he's dressed up like that old woman.
Yeah.
Don't ask him too many questions, because you'll start hearing, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
All right. That's moving on to our topic of the day, which is the Star Fox. More space stuff.
More SNES.
More SNES. Yeah, we're talking SNES today. Yeah, so Star Fox. That was... That has an interesting history, Star Fox. Basically, it's a rail shooter, I guess. Is that?
Yeah,
rail shooter. You have a little bit of controlled where you fly and everything, but yeah. It's your basic shooter. But it was big, super heavy graphics for the time. A graphical inlay that was polygon-based. Before CDs were a thing.
Flat-shaded
polygons. You know, most games were pixel-based, obviously, during the time. Was this the first mainstream polygon-based game?
For home consoles?
For a home console? Like,
yes.
Because there was the Vectrex, obviously, that was all polygon-based and vector-based and stuff like that.
Well, and in the arcade, you know, you had virtual racing.
And you had virtual racing in the arcade. But for console, this was the first real launch of that sort of a deal. Came out in America in 1993, March 26th, 1993.
Yep.
So early 90s when this came out, and it came out with it was the first thing to implement what was that thing called, the graphics chip,
Super FX.
The Super FX chip. That's right.
That would go on to be used in like three other games.
Yeah, this was the only. Yeah, This is the first one that utilized that thing.
Stunt Race FX, Star Fox.
And
I'm gonna Google this.
Something else. I don't even want to know about it. But yeah, it was basically just this new thing that was. Let's say list of games. Oh wow, it's actually quite a bit. Let's see, Super FX games. We got Dirt Racer, Dirt Race, Dirt Tracks FX, Star Fox, Star Wing, which was in Europe only. Stunt Race.
That's
FX.
Just what they called Star Fox over there.
Oh, is that what it was in Europe? Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, slash yeah, Star Wing. Wild Tracks Japan and Vortex.
Wild Tracks is Stunt Race. No, there were only four games.
Oh, there's only four games. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because Dirt Race and Dirt Tracks, then Star Fox,
right,
and then Stunt Race and then Vortex. So there's five games.
So five games.
Then there's a bunch of unreleased games like
Comanche, Power Slide, FX Fighter, Star Fox 2, which I have played actually. I played the bootleg of that. Very simple, very basic game. They don't have any of the difficulty programmed into it. It's pretty funny. You can literally blow up anything in like 5 seconds.
And it looks like they made a second version of the Super FX chip that had that's what that red cart of doom ran on.
Yeah,
Mario World 2 and Winter Gold.
Right. Yeah. So that,
I don't think I've ever heard of Winter Gold.
I don't think I have either. So there you go. But that was the. The
it's a Funcom joint.
It's a Funcom game.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
There you go.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of history on the technology. The cool thing about the Super FX chip was much like the pre-rendered texture tech that Rare used for Donkey Kong that gave it a very distinctive look.
Yes.
The extra ROM chip that they threw in, the Super FX chip as it was known, is very similar to what Japanese developers had been known for on the original NES.
Right.
The thing about the NES is that if you bust open cartridges, almost every one of them is different.
Yeah.
Because they all had these crazy proprietary ROMs, and everybody, especially in Japan, it was a fucking wasteland of just people doing whatever. Every cart's a different color.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some, because like when you look at a development ROM, like a ROM that's out there for development, it's always way bigger and has way more stuff on it.
Yep.
Because then they compact it to this tinier, there's like, what do we not need? What do we need on this thing? And they always compact it to this smaller thing. So, you know, that giant cartridge that you have is never indicative of the amount of stuff on that ROM. So,
and, you know, so the, in this generation, the, Sega had a little bit of their tech to get, like, Virtual Fighter 2 and Virtual Racing and Virtual Cop running on the Genesis, but that would be a little bit later than this. So the Super FX chip for consoles was kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. This game was really a graphical showpiece when it came out. It so much so that it hid what always is true about the Star Fox games, that there's not a lot of game in that game.
No, not really.
But it was so crazy good looking that you had to play it.
Yeah, yeah. It looked great. The gameplay, I think, is solid on this game. You know, you've got
really good use of the shoulder buttons to do the rolling.
Really good use of the shoulder. Everything feels real good when you're running through. Tight controls, tight shooting. It feels good to get those upgrades. To use the bomb. The bomb was like the most amazing thing, like ever back in the day. When you launched a bomb, you knew it was for serious.
Yeah.
Like you were like, I need to use this now.
Boom!
Boom! It just explodes the whole freaking screen, and it felt real good to just wipe a whole area full of that stuff. Very basic gameplay. You shoot the enemies, you shoot the boss in the blinky bit, he will explode his blinky bit, and you will shoot him there. Mm-hmm. And that is it. He'll change his pattern whenever you blow off a piece of it. You'll have to dodge stuff. Has really good sound for the time when you crack. And it has like really basic voice.
Very early, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the first usage of Nintendo's version of Simlish that they're still known for like Animal Crossing and Tamagotchi Life.
Yeah, yeah.
This is their first vocoded voice kind of shit.
Simulated talk that's not really actual talk, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Just to give you
the emotion, not with the line delivery.
Yeah, with two line deliveries of actual dialogue, which is "good luck" at the very beginning and "thank you, Star Fox" at the very end, and that's it. It's like your reward is to get more of that good, that hound dog voice of "good luck." That's your reward.
Thank you, Wonder Man.
Thank you, Wonder Man. Oh, classic.
Oh, shit.
Man, we need to do like a whole documentary on sound in.
I can't move!
B-17 Bomber. You ever heard of that one?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Oh, man. But yeah, we should do a whole documentary on voice in video games. I think that'd be fun. But anyway, yeah.
Star Fox is... here's the thing.
Yeah.
Star Fox was a very important game for the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
And here's my pitch, and feel free to disagree if you would like, but I feel like Star Fox is leading into 1994, this is 1993,
mm-hmm.
This is Nintendo making a very solid case for, yo, fuck that Genesis.
Right, yeah, no.
This thing is way more powerful mm-hmm. than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you had, like, basically, like, a five-shot lineup
mm-hmm.
of Star Fox, Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, Donkey Kong Country,
yeah.
and just all this stuff looks so much better. Uniracers.
Yeah, Uniracers. Oh, Uniracers. Man, we need to do a Uniracers episode. We need to do that.
I need to get another copy of that
as well. I'm so bad at it. I played it at MAGFest. I was still pretty good at it. I was so awful. I felt so bad.
They had it set up at the Arcade Expo, and I was still doing like those six spins.
Man, I was so bad at it. I felt so bad. But this game really was a power tech demo. It really was.
This is one of those things that started to crack the Sega throne. This is at the mm-hmm. same time that Sega is going through a lot of turnover. The Game Gear is already running out of steam. The Sega CD is falling down on its face.
Mm-hmm.
They're already at the second hardware revision and mm-hmm. going into the third hardware revision for the Genesis to cut costs on it.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said in the future, depending on how these hardware revisions for this generation of consoles go.
Yeah.
But the kind of flailing nature of the hardware revisions that Sega was going through then might end up being fairly similar to what we're about to see. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, over the course of 4 years, Microsoft will have released, and this is not counting different configurations, 4 actual different Xboxes.
Right.
Yeah. In as many years.
Yeah.
Because the Elite is different.
Yeah.
Because it comes with a different controller.
It's true.
And it has the SSD in it
mm-hmm.
so that it loads games faster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Slim console, the base console, and the Scorpio.
Yeah.
Like, there is a flailing quality
mm-hmm.
to that that I think that Star Fox was one of those games that led the charge for.
Yeah.
Sega was doing themselves no favors. But Nintendo took that as the opportunity of, hey, we got to win the States back.
Yeah.
Because early in that generation, Sega came out early, hitting hard.
Strong.
Came out strong. Was a fucking number one stunner.
Blast processing marketing was a good idea.
Sonic the Hedgehog became a household name.
Yep.
Forget the fact that those games aren't very good.
Yeah, right? Forget that. I mean, honestly, do. Like, because it just based on the marketing of that one game, like, they were toppling the giant. For the longest time, I remember like everybody in the playground talking about how the Sega was much better, you know, and just like, all right, whatever. And I remember there's being speculation that Sega was gonna win the console wars, and then shit like this happened. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was. I know that Shigeru Miyamoto, he was a producer of this game, not a director. But he was a producer of this game. He was heavily involved in wanting to make this game as fun as... because he didn't want it to just be a tech demo. It was displayed to him, I think, by the director of, like, this is what we can do. And it has, like, the polygon and everything. And he's like, all right, this is great, but we have to make it playable. Like, it's like, if it just looks good and is garbage, like, it doesn't matter. So
this game is Galaga.
Yes, it is. It's very much
Galaga. This game is 100% Galaga.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And this game is about repetition and about secrets in the same exact ways that Galaga is.
Pattern.
Flying under the arches to unlock the power-ups. Yep. The
patterned enemies that come in through a pattern. Blinky bits on the boss that you shoot till it falls off. Then you shoot the next blinky bit.
You can't get double ship though.
You can't get double ship. You can power up your stuff though. You can power up your guys to, and that always felt good too.
Yeah.
Whenever you powered up your weapon to like the green shots, then you power it up to the bolts. Little bolty things, and you're just like,
shot.
Oh, man. And you can take out anything with those. You felt so good about it. One of my favorite levels in all of gaming is in this game. In all of games, the Armada level, which I think is level 4 in this game, of the direct path towards Andross, there is just something so fucking amazing about, because you didn't really have that back then, the scale of things. Nowadays, you can do it all the time, but blowing up an Armada ship by shooting at its bridge and just seeing it go boom, boom, and just tilt and fall is just like, I just took out a giant Star Destroyer. Never felt that before in a game. Like, it just, that was amazing, you know? Just seeing that thing just list and tilt and die as you pass by it, like, so cool. And you didn't even have to do that. That was a background thing. You didn't have to blow up those guys at all. You just did that because it was like, I took out that freaking giant freaking Armada ship, and it was so cool. It's one of my favorite levels of all time. They even replicated it in Star Fox 64 as well, pretty successfully, I might add, but
allegedly
some people would disagree maybe in the room.
Every Star Fox game that's ever come out, there's one good level in, and it's always the Corneria level.
The Corneria level is pretty always good.
It's always good.
It's kind of like Sonic. Like, Green Hills, always a good level.
Hey, you got a casino level, those are usually pretty good,
too. They're pretty good, too, typically. Yeah. And then they're the ones that are just, like, really bad all the way through. Like, Sonic and the Black Knight, remember that one? No? No one else does, either.
I gave that to Russ.
Did you?
When I bought my Wii U, it came with it. I gave it to Russ.
You gave it to Russ.
Huh? I gave Russ a, somebody came in to the store last week.
Right?
With a brand new sealed Wii U Fit.
Wow.
And board game everything.
Right.
Never been used.
Wow.
And we don't take it.
Right.
Like, we're going to give him like $1 for the game and we don't take the board.
Right.
And the guy's like, hey, you got somebody that would want this? I'm like, yeah, I bet Russ's kids would think this is hilarious. So I gave him that.
That's funny.
But yeah, like it's Star Fox is a game that you don't really see anymore.
No. Yeah.
Hang on. I'm about to sneeze.
Oh, you're right.
Sorry. It's the kind of game that is really strictly assigned to, like, the indie space now.
Yeah.
Where we're going to take a well-tread, time-honored structure of an experience and then throw a cool technical sheen on it like you haven't seen.
Right.
And release that.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
I mean, how any of us ever paid like $70 or $80 for these games is fucking beyond me when you can beat these games in like 30 minutes.
I mean, that was just the economy then. It just was. Like, that was your gameplay economy. It just, like, I can be distracted by this for... And the thing is, like, you know, games were different. Me and my brother didn't beat this game until years after we had it. So, it just, you know, we didn't have all the time in the world to play a game. We didn't have all the time in the world to get good at a game. And that game wasn't particularly, you know, like, super easy for kids back then. Nowadays, playing it, it's like, okay, I can probably blast through this pretty easily. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal. But
you fought Tyson recently?
Huh? No, I haven't. Is he
real easy there?
Is he? Oh, wow. That's intriguing. I feel like Tyson would still be hard. Like,
nope.
Rest of that game, like, I would imagine easy, but Tyson was a flurry.
I understand timing now in a way that I never used to.
That's true, yeah, as a kid, yeah.
My my reaction time is probably nowhere near what it was before, but my mind is way sharper than it's ever been the idea of game mechanics and timing.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
But yeah, like I can't beat Tyson every time.
Right.
But sit me down with it on a CRT, I can knock out Tyson.
You can knock out Tyson. And that was something that was like thought impossible in our old days.
Oh yeah. So
it's just like that's witchcraft on the playground. You don't knock out Tyson. You survive Tyson.
One thing that I mysteriously, I don't know how or why, that I still kind of struggle with.
Yeah.
Black Tiger's circular attack.
Yeah.
I have a problem with
that. Yeah, it subverts some things for you. It does. So it like
subverts. Ball bull, I can knock that motherfucker down.
Yeah, ball bull, yeah.
Fuck him. Soda Popinski.
Soda Popinski. Good old Vodka Drunkinski himself.
It's a real bad pun.
But yeah, back in the day, this game was pretty tough. So you did get a lot for the money that was paid. I mean,
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's just the game things, you know, the game narrative has changed. That's just what it was, you know.
Do you think Donkey Kong Country was a good game?
I thought it was a fun game.
Good. Interesting.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I know lots of people that don't much care for that game. Oddly enough, I can't watch that game be played. I don't know what the psychological thing is with that. I can play the game just fine, but when I'm watching it being played on a screen...
You realize how ugly it is?
No, it feels like I'm going to get poked in the eye by something.
It's all the bad textures.
It must be, but it's something like when I'm watching it be played, I feel like I'm like... Like, something's gonna stab me in the side of the eye. Like, it's very bizarre, and I don't know if it's just the texture layout, or if I was stabbed when I was a kid.
While playing Donkey Kong.
I don't know what that psychological aversion is, but...
Don't hurt me, Brian!
I don't know what it is. Like, it's so bizarre, because I'm watching, I feel like, with the way that screen scrolls, it feels like my eye is gonna get hit by something that's going by. I've never experienced that with any other game. It's very bizarre. I don't know what the deal is. So, I don't know. I want to talk to a psychiatrist about that.
I think you should.
It's weird. I don't understand it. But yeah, because you know, some people get motion sickness with certain games. Like I get that, but like it's not motion. I don't get sick. It's just this aversion that I'm going to get hit by something. I don't know what it is. Very bizarre.
All right. So here is a question.
Yes.
I'm going to ignore the fact that you claim that 64 was a good game.
Okay.
What happened after that?
After this game, particularly, or...
I'm saying after 64.
Right, yeah.
They started farming this game out to companies like Namco to make installments. The last game was made by Platinum.
Yes.
They don't give a fuck about this series.
They don't. It was kind of ridiculous. What was so bizarre, I think there was this weird... Miyamoto has this weird love relationship with this game. He loves the characters and everything. It's one of his favorite things. Like, he's said it many times, that Star Fox, this version of Star Fox for the SNES, one of his favorite of all time.
It's the good one.
And he didn't even, you know, he didn't even direct it. He just produced it. He wasn't a programmer on it. He didn't even create this game. He was just a producer on it, which is why I think he's so adamant about loving it, because, you know, you can't, like, love something that you made in Japanese culture because it's considered improper, but whatever. You know, like, so it's one of his favorite games. And he loves the idea of the fox. That's like one of his favorite look. They had a whole video about this when they were talking about the new game coming out for the Wii U. You know, what the significance of the new logo and shit, you know. He painted that new logo like in a temple, like with doing a kanji drawing kind of thing. That's why it looks basically like a kanji symbol. So there's this weird love relationship for it, but when they attached that thing to Dinosaur Planet, this game that was supposed to be a completely separate new game starring a completely different character,
I played that game fairly recently.
Yeah, the game
is fucking garbage.
It's terrible. It was supposed to be this completely different game, completely different, you know, narrative. It was supposed to star the other character that's in it. And then it just, like, at one point, the director was talking to Miyamoto, and he's just like, what if we put Fox in there? And then that happened. And so they literally just reformed it to be a Star Fox game that wasn't a Star Fox game at all. And that's when everything just derailed. I don't know, like, that was your Star Fox game for GameCube.
Well, you ended up getting Star Fox Assault.
You did, later on. But
that was the first of the Namco joints.
That was the first of the Namco joints. And I believe it was just response from the negative... from the negative responses from Dinosaur Planet. Star Fox on Dinosaur, what the fuck ever that game was called.
Star Fox Adventures.
Adventures, yeah. It's like it was a big backlash for that because it was literally not a Star Fox game, and you're calling it a Star Fox game. This is what we wanted. We wanted a Star Fox game on
GameCube. I remembered that game opening with an R-Wing sequence.
It does, and it's...
But when I played it, it didn't.
Really? It didn't open with it? Because it does open with one. Did they just skip it? Did you skip it? Like,
I might have skipped it.
It's literally 3 minutes long. It's not even, like, it's barely anything. It's like the biggest subversion of expectation ever. Because they sit you there and you're like, oh, cool, maybe there are actually levels like this. And then you crash land and...
It's like that internet meme of the guy wearing, like, the little panda hat where he's like, yay! Aww.
Basically. Yeah. And then you're frickin' hauling around a little baby dinosaur and hatching eggs and shit. And it's
awful.
That
game is a garbage pile.
Horrible! It's absolutely wretched. And I think that's just where it was like, okay, we've got to farm this out. We don't have time. Call Bandai Namco.
All right, so one last thing that's only somewhat related.
Right.
Have you seen the Jet Force Gemini apologists on the internet?
I noticed that when on the forum that we're both on, when you... Yeah.
It's like, you people are out of your motherfucking minds.
I remember that, because the guy, he basically posts like, this is a fun... Like, I can understand... someone having a fond memory of a bad game. I have those. Like, I have fond memories of games that I know are wretched.
I felt like he was lying to people.
But they were adamant. There were people coming
like,
out
nope,
of the
I played
woodwork.
Every year.
No,
nope, what?
Played every year. Still good today. Pardon? Like, really?
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Do you not play anything else? It's just...
Nope, games never change. Nope. They're all still like this.
They're all still like this. Oh, man, that game is wretched, and there are apologists for it. It's amazing.
Woof.
It's a bit of a sci-fi romp we've been on here. Going through...
Yeah, Jet Force Gemini, go watch that video of us playing that fucking shit pile.
Woo! Man, it's a garbage pile.
Fuck me, man. I guess we can kind of guide this thing into the home stretch.
I will say, for Jet Force Gemini, crawling physics, pretty good.
Crawling at somebody with your gun. I like the way he holds his gun when he crawls.
I'm going to get you.
Get over here, you motherfucker.
And then you roll. I'm going to roll. Oh, man.
Fuck that game.
Oh, it's terrible.
The game is garbage.
It's so bad. I remember being excited about that game. I remember being excited about this shooter for the N64.
Made by Rare?
Yeah, right?
Why wouldn't it be
Why
good?
Why wouldn't it be good?
The people who made Diddy Kong Racing and fucking Mario Kart.
Yeah.
God, they made, like, everything on the N64.
Yeah, and that game wasn't good. But anyway. Star Fox... For the Super Nintendo,
important game.
Yeah,
but the thing that I'm kind of reminded of is that I would not be able to recommend somebody have to play this any more than any other game like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, Panzer Dragoon 1.
Right.
Or this.
Panzer Dragoon, yeah.
Or Afterburner. Mm-hmm. It's
Afterburner,
like, they're entirely not necessary.
Sure.
But they're completely inoffensive to return to.
Sure, sure, absolutely. There's no reason not to play the game, to avoid it, obviously. And I think, like, for the historical value of this game, definitely go back and see it, just because it's the first of its kind on the platform that it's in, you know, so...
Flat-shaded polygons.
Yeah, and if not the first of its kind, I'm sure there's somebody that would say, like, well, on the Atari Jaguar, or there, whatever, like, fucking, like, but it just... The first mainstream important one of its time.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Nothing else looked like this.
No, nothing else did. So, yeah. So, but that was, you know, that's what this game is. So, you know, it is of its time. It is very much of its time, but it's...
I like Star Fox. Yeah. I think that given, you know, what's it been, 23 years time away from it, and being able to return to it now and have it so nakedly just be Galaga... Right. I never noticed that before, maybe 5 years ago.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But once you take all the sheen and the shine away from it, and you just focus on what do you do in this game, it's Galaga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Galaga.
They made their own Galaga.
Yeah, it is. Basically, that's what it boils down to. It's a really pretty Galaga.
It's a pretty cool Galaga.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like this game. It has a good... I like N60... I like the 64 version. It is very much a remake of this game, let's say, in a later time.
The worst voice acting.
Pretty bad
voice acting. I have ever heard.
I'm going to go... I've heard worse voice acting. It's not good. I'm not going to sit here and defend it as good.
Somebody will walk out and say, like, oh yeah, Resident Evil 1 voice acting is worse. It's like, yeah, but that's enjoyable.
And it's purposeful as well. It was
supposed to... I don't think it was.
It was totally purposeful, some of that voice acting, because of just how badly some of that stuff is delivered. It was, like, supposed to be this...
What is this?
What is this?
It's blood. I hope it's not Chris's blood.
Master of lockpicking.
Master of unlocking.
Master of unlocking. That's what it is. Oh, man.
And the way that, like, he fucking gives her the fucking rocket launcher, and she's like, but what about you, Barry? Don't worry. I've got this. I fucking love the dialogue in that game.
But it's terrible, right?
Man, I played that Resident Evil remake fairly recently.
Sure, yeah.
Way worse with good voice acting in it. Way worse!
Oh, man. I didn't know they redid the voice acting.
All of it.
Oh, it's bullshit. I agree. Should have kept it verbatim. They should have redone it, but kept it verbatim on delivery.
The Resident Evil remake makes it all the more shocking when you go back and you listen to, when you go and you play Resident Evil Zero.
Yeah.
So, like, a week before Resident Evil Zero, Rebecca Chambers, the girl who's never shot a gun,
yeah,
is riding a train shooting, like, slime monsters and zombies.
Yep.
And ignored to mention this to anybody?
Yep, just didn't mention that stuff.
With a man named Carlos?
Like, that was her whole character, was that she was a medic, and she didn't fire a gun, and she'd never been involved in this sort of thing, and she was the scared little rookie, and that game...
Yeah, she's hiding under the stairs because she's scared.
Yeah, and then that fucking, you know, game just wrecked that whole narrative, because...
Fuck.
Fucking GameCube, goddammit.
I blame Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom.
The whole GameCube failure. Yeah. I just blame Capcom.
It
was the GameCube. What was it? The Capcom 5?
The Capcom.
What were those games? P&O 3.
P&O 3.
Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4.
Killer 7.
Killer 7. Crap. What were the other ones? That wasn't Eternal Darkness. That wasn't a Capcom, no. What was this?
Right into the show.
Yeah, right into the show, if you know what that was. But that's it for this episode of the Video Struck Podcast. Go check out Star Fox if you want to. Pretty soon, we're going to be doing a live stream.
October 29th.
October 29th. We'll be doing a live
stream. 24 hours.
For 24-hour live stream for Corsair Children's. It's for the Extra Life charity fund. You can go to our Extra Life page. Let's go to Extra Life. Look for Video Destruct. You'll find our team there.
Yeah, we're doing it a week before the actual Extra Life date, just because of scheduling.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing it live from my company's offices, and we're going to have guests and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yep.
And we're going to be playing announced games so far.
Yes.
that I am comfortable with saying that we will be playing on the show.
That we will be playing.
Halo 3 ODST is our big co-op game.
Right. You always have a big co-op game with Gus.
I will be playing Super Sexy John Cena.
Okay, yeah. Super Sexy John Cena? Oh.
Yeah, John Cena, Super Sexy Boyfriend.
Super Sexy Boyfriend.
You're I have not
Oh, touched... you're going to play as John Cena, Super Sexy Boyfriend, huh? With Cena-senpai and all
I have not touched it. I have not looked at it.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Everybody told me after I had such a good time with Had a Full Boyfriend.
Right.
That, yo, you need to play that John Cena game, bro.
Yeah, yeah, let's play the John Cena game. I'm super down for that.
I'm going to be playing that. I don't want to hear anything about it, so don't ruin it for me.
All right.
I want to play Don't Kill the Baby.
Yeah. Right, don't
have
kill the baby.
Have you seen that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen much about it. I know
One person plays as a baby,
yes,
and he has to kill himself.
I apologize. I have seen it. Yes, and then the dad has to save the baby.
Video game Donkey did a really good video on that.
I'm of the impression that it is really hard to be the dad in that game.
Yep. There's a really good scene in the Donkey video that you should probably go watch.
Yeah.
Where the baby crawls into the sink and he comes crawling out. He's like, "Yeah, I just drank the dish soap, the hand soap, and the bleach."
And the bleach. So, you know.
Yeah, but he was eating batteries. What's great is that just like an actual baby, like if you see a baby reach for something, it's already in their mouth.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So like as soon as they grab something, it's in their body.
It's in their body. Just immediately.
It's great. So yeah, those are the ones I'm comfortable with saying so far. We'll probably end up playing stuff like Nidhogg. Mm-hmm. I'm also of the opinion that we should probably play Gang Beasts.
Yeah.
But Gang I just don't know how much time we're going to have for a lot of this stuff.
Sure, sure.
But yeah.
We will also have a schedule for people coming in and coming out and stuff like that.
If you want to be in the live studio audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. So should be a good time.
And we're also playing me and Dave. Are playing
Blitz.
One game. Winner take all.
Yes.
NFL Blitz for the PS1.
That's going to happen.
I will take the crown.
Sounds good. Sounds good. But that's going to be our live stream. It's going to be a great time. If you want to check us out on Facebook. Video Destruct. VideoDestruct.com. So we've got our written reviews. All these podcasts. Everything up. Check out our library. We've got our videos posted there. It's a good little site. Go check it out. You can follow us on Twitter at Video Destruct. You can also
follow me on Twitter at Hoss_buddy. Follow me.
Yep.
I talk to wrestlers.
He talks to wrestlers a lot, and it should be a good time. But yeah, that's it for this episode. We'll see you next time.